Salam sejahtera, anda bersama saya Rizal Zakapli dan ini Niaga Awal. Kita mulakan dengan perkembangan bursa di Amerika. Saham di Wall Street meningkat pada penutup Selasa dengan pelabur ambil kesempatan beli saham yang jatuh dalam sesi sebelumnya. Ini menjelang keputusan pilihan raya Senat di Georgia yang akan menentukan imbangan kuasa di Washington. Kemenangan di Georgia dijangka berikan Demokrat kelebihan di Senat dan juga Dewan Perwakilan. Ini akan mudahkan Kongres untuk luluskan pelan rangsangan, peraturan korporat serta cukai yang lebih tinggi. Pada penutup, indeks Dow Jones naik 167 mata, S&P 500 naik 26 mata dan juga Nasdaq naik 120 mata. Dalam masa yang sama, keputusan NYSE ataupun New York Stock Exchange untuk tidak nyah senarai saham syarikat China turut meningkatkan saham China ataupun China Telecom, China Mobile dan juga China Unicom. Data pembuatan di Amerika juga dilapor meningkat ke paras tertinggi dalam 2 tahun setengah pada Disember. Dan harga minyak meningkat hampir 5% pada Selasa selepas Arab Saudi dilapor akan membuat pemotongan. Dalam masa yang sama, peningkatan turut disebabkan penahanan kapal Korea Selatan oleh Iran. Dalam semakan akhir, harga minyak mentah Brent naik 4.9% kepada $53 setong. West Texas juga naik 4.9% kepada $49 setong. Arab Saudi akan potong 1 juta tong sehari pada Februari dan juga Mac. Dalam masa yang sama, Rusia dan juga Kazakhstan akan meningkatkan pengeluaran. Menurut laporan Reuters, OPEC jangka langkah sekatan akibat penularan COVID-19 akan melemahkan pemulihan permintaan minyak pada 2021. Simpanan minyak di Amerika juga dilaporkan menurun pada minggu lepas. Dan seterusnya, untuk melihat kepada unjuran pasaran di Asia serta bagaimana pilihan raya Senat Georgia dan kesannya kepada pasaran di Amerika, kita bersama dengan Stephen Innes, Ketua Strategi Pasaran Global XE. Stephen, Happy New Year. First, tell us about the sentiments among investors in the US as we prepare to get results from the Georgia Senate election. Why is this election important?
Well, I think the overall sentiment remains completely focused at the end of the tunnel, regardless of its length. That's first of all. But I think we're seeing a repricing on the stock exchanges right now, getting knocked down a peg or two because there's a lot of uncertainty what the makeup of the Senate's going to be and what the resulting policies are going to be. Look, if we get a Democratic sweep, that's obviously going to contribute more stimulus to the market. But at the same time, we're going to deal with more tech regulation and higher corporate taxes. And this is a reality that the markets are going to have to settle in. Will they have to put their tin hats on to defend against these taxes? Or are they going to rally on the stimulus input? I think under the hood here, value stocks are going to continue to rise. But at the index level, because of the heavy weights of the tech sector, they're going to be rather muted. And this is the worry that investors might get confused by how this move is being interpreted. I kind of like playing it almost in a barbell relationship where I like financials and I also like commodities simply because I think those are going to continue to flourish higher in a vaccinated world.
And Stephen, it's January and we're still discussing the transition process in the US. Have investors actually priced this in?
No, they haven't. The problem is that we don't know how to price it in. That's the problem. We don't know what the end result is and what direction the indexes are going to veer towards a blue wave. I mean, we talked a couple of months ago, we'd have just suggested that, oh, the blue wave is going to create infrastructure spending, the blue wave is going to send the U.S. dollar lower, and the U.S. wave is going to add more money to the systems. This is all going to happen if it happens, but where do the stocks go? That's the big question.
And Stephen, the U.S. President Donald Trump signed an executive order banning transactions with 8 Chinese software applications, including Ant Group's Alipay. This was reported earlier or just now. What do you make of that? Is this Trump's last probably stand or even efforts to maybe discredit the Chinese companies in the U.S.?
Yeah, it's his last hurrah, and I think he's hoping that the popular vote. Their popular vote towards a negative China outlook in the U.S. is going to carry these policies through. Biden will have trouble reversing them. However, I think there's going to be pushback from the Biden presidency, who wants to open up more unilateral trade discussions with the world and including China. Look, we're not going to see a complete reversal of the China-U.S. trade frictions, but we're going to see a more palatable discourse on the political level, where discussions are going to be opened up on a one-to-one basis rather than getting voiced on Twitter accounts. And I think this is quite positive for markets going forward.
Let's move on to the UK. What about the third national lockdown in the UK? Are investors also cautious and maybe perhaps worried that this could be a global trend because of the new variant?
Very much so, and this is what's really fostering the risk-off mood that we're seeing in markets right now. This heavy-handed with COVID, again, is especially the new variant, is just causing a lot of friction throughout the world here. We just don't know how this is going to transport. The key here is if the vaccines can contain this current variant, I think investors will be able to look through, but we have to see how this is dealt. Remember, these variants have been in the systems for a couple of months, not just a couple of weeks. And I think the reactions by policymakers is a little bit late. So we're still in this infancy stage of how to deal with this new variant. And obviously, hospital rates are going to surge. We're seeing that happening all over the world right now, where pressure on the healthcare communities are struggling again. And this is a real problem for risk sentiment. So we have to keep our eye on how quickly the vaccines get distributed to ward off this current variant, and provided that the vaccines actually work effectively against this variant. So there's a lot on the risk plate right now to deal with over the next few weeks.
And we all know that the fiscal stimulus brought forth or announced earlier by some of these countries have actually affected their economy and the ability to spend. Do you think with more lockdown expected because of the new variant, do you think governments across the globe have enough funds to support these lockdowns?
If they don't, they'll just have to continue printing them, and that's ultimately what's going to happen. They're going to continue printing them. The central banks will continue to monetize that debt. That's ultimately what's going to happen. Look, the biggest issues are still ahead of us when it comes to the unemployment levels. We've lost a lot of industry, especially around the servicing industries. Some of those industries aren't going to come back. So even the government providing checks right now to support those industries, not really that important, especially when most people are still locked in their houses, not willing to come out and spend. Where the stimulus is going to be most effective is when we actually pass the virus stage and we have to recover. So that's when the stimulus is going to be used. Look, the governments still have a lot of unused stimulus that they're holding on to. They've got approved for oodles of stimulus, but they haven't put that to work, knowing that that stimulus will be more effective when people actually emerge from the COVID. And that's the one key point we have to look at. All the stimulus out there hasn't been tapped. There's more to come, and there's going to be more available, and the markets know that, and this is why the markets remain quite well bid on dips.
And do you see, you mentioned the markets earlier, do you see investors retreating to perhaps safe havens?
I don't even know what a safe haven is anymore, to be honest with you. You know, the dollar doesn't offer any safety. Gold is really trading like a growth asset. I think the safe haven assets are the stay-at-home stocks, like Apple and other technology stocks. So I think there's going to be a continuation of that buying theme. I think we're entering a super tech cycle, not only here in Asia, but globally again, because I think the COVID beatdown has compressed the utilization of technology even more resoundingly than we thought. We thought it would take over 5 years to get where we are now in the span of 6 months. So I think tech is going to continue to resonate as a safe haven theme, in my view, for the markets going forward.
And Stephen, manufacturing data from China and also the US for December have been quite positive. Will this be enough for investors to start taking risks? You mentioned earlier the tech cycle, but you know, is this new data from the US and also China enough for investors to perhaps move from stay-at-home stocks to reopening stocks?
Oh, 100%. I mean, it's been surprising. Backyards and stockyards are extremely busy, and this is really surprising, given especially in areas like the U.S. and also in Europe, for instance, because their data is quite good also, given the fact that we're still in pretty lockdown situation. This suggests that consumers are adapting to these lockdowns, which is very, very good. So even although we're moving into a new lockdown, the market reaction should really be replicated to what we saw in 2020, where they're able to sidestep those lockdowns and actually look a little bit forward. I think the confusion that we're dealing with right now is the new variant confusion and worries that the new vaccines that are being made available will actually defend against that COVID. That's the problem right now. Once we overcome that problem, I think we fly higher again.
And OPEC Plus have agreed to roll over existing production cuts. Oil price is now around $50 per barrel for Brent. How will this support ringgit and other emerging market currencies, and also perhaps oil producing countries' currencies?
It's going to be very supportive. And this is the key thing. Anybody who's a price taker of oil is going to receive oodles of support here from OPEC. Look, it's not OPEC, it's Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia is shouldering the supply, the production burden on their own. And this is really critical, because what it does, it cements their leadership in the group. Not only that, they win a lot of allies among all the OPEC friends. Now, the key here is that people don't sort of become lazy and more non-compliant. The key here is that they have to believe that Saudi Arabia is going to shoulder this burden, so they have to keep compliance in check. This will be key to watch. If the compliance level starts to break or the compliant level stick, my thought here is by OPEC stepping up to the plate and facing the music, that compliance level is going to remain intact at least for a few more months. And perhaps that's all we need to bridge that economic demand side gap to when the vaccines become more readily available to the global economies.
But how high can oil prices go now that there's a slight optimism in the air because of the vaccination programs across the globe?
Well, we have to keep in mind here that this is very much an intervened market, mm-hmm. both voluntary and involuntary production cuts through the world, involuntary on shale, because the break-evens for oil prices are too low for them to produce more barrels. And also from OPEC's concerns, even the low-cost producers are really just cutting production. However, when prices start to rise, especially as we move above 50 WTI, I think we're going to see more barrels come back into the market. But look, those price levels have to maintain above that $50 WTI level sustainably, mm-hmm. not just a little blip like we saw overnight. We have to sort of breach that gap. And then at that point, I think OPEC will feel more comfortable putting more barrels back into the market, because, look, they don't want to give shale that definitive advantage. So I still think as prices go up, they're going to be buttressed on the top side by more OPEC production coming at the market. Ultimately, I see oil, the WTI variant, trading between 55 and 60, and perhaps Brent trading 60 to 63 for an average price in 2021.
What are the top three trends for markets in Asia this week, Stephen, and what are some of the key drivers?
Just going to be the vaccine. That's really the eye opener and really the door opener for the risk rallies. Look, the problem we have worldwide now is this emergence of the new variant causing lockdowns throughout the world. Vaccines are going to be very important. It really puts the onus on the market's concerns right now. Look at the Israeli program that they put out, where they applied a lot of efforts to vaccine the population. It's actually thought they could reach herd immunity by the end of the month. I think a lot of other countries are going to take notice of this program and start to work towards these numbers and try to get that herd immunity compressed a little bit tighter. So this is going to be key, how the vaccines continue to get distributed globally, especially here in Asia, because some of those variants aren't very transportable because mm-hmm. they need those cold storages. So that's going to be the key driver, in my view, over the next few weeks.
Thank you very much, Stephen. Stephen Innes, Ketua Strategi Pasaran Global XE, membincangkan berkenaan dengan unjuran pasaran dan juga tren pasaran di Asia serta faktor pengaruhi pasaran. Kita akan berehat seketika kembali selepas ini.